If you have your Bible with you, if you would turn to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter number 32. Title of my message this morning is, What is Your Golden Calf? I'm sure we all have heard the story probably several times, but as we read through it this morning, I do want to point out a couple of things that the Lord's given to me. When I tend to think about idols, I tend to think about Native American totem poles, big metal statues of Buddha, something that we can see, something that we can touch. But in today's world, I believe a lot of times our idols come down to the mental images we have in our head instead of the big statues. Think about it. Anything we put before God becomes an idol, even if that's just a matter of how we prioritize our lives. All right, reading in Exodus chapter number 32, starting there in verse 1, says, And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down off the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For this Moses, the man that brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is the feast to the Lord. And they rose up on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go and get thee down, for thy people which thou brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them. They have made a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of this evil which he thought to do unto his people. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. I just thank you for everyone that's come out this morning, Lord. I just pray you'd break our hearts open, Lord, that we may receive the message, that it be received as your words and not mine, Lord, that we'll apply it to our lives, Lord, and we'll just so that others may see you in us. We just thank you and praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we see here in the story of the golden calf, the first thing that I noticed that Israel had was a lack of patience. Are you and I guilty failing to wait on God? 40 days is how long Moses was on the mount. All the Israelites had to do was wait a little less than 6 weeks. And yet, they were through with him. We know that God's not in a hurry. God has all the time in the world. In fact, God's bigger than time and certainly not bound by it. Throughout the Bible, I find God promising things that we must wait to receive. God promised Abraham and Sarah a child, but they had to wait 25 years to get him. God promised Noah there would be a flood, but it was a long time in coming. The Israelites had just waited 430 years in Egypt before coming out to the promised land. Waiting is part of the design, divine design of things. Waiting is no accident. It is purposed by God. 2 Peter tells us, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day." Satan oftentimes tries to use these divine delays to convince us that God doesn't care, God's disappeared, we're not important enough for God to remember us. But yet, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter, "For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what's right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God." The Israelites obviously had lost favor with God. In just 40 days, they were ready to throw in the towel and be like the rest of the world, and they wanted to make their own God. Have you ever thought about why we don't like to wait? It's because if we're forced to wait, we are not in control. Someone or something else is in control, and we have to yield to that control. It's a humbling experience. After all, when we're waiting, Romans tells us, "Is this not what God is doing in us now, conforming us to the image of Christ?" After all, we know that God is patient, right? How many times do we screw up, and yet he's faithful and just to forgive us every time? So a lot of times when we're having to learn patience, we're just becoming closer to being Christ-like, because God is very patient with us. The second thing I see here that Israel had was a lack of leadership. Aaron, God's number two man, failed to lead in Moses' absence. Now you may think, "Well, I'm not God's number two man. What does that have to do with me?" But as a Christian, in our lives and the settings that we go to, people look to us to set the standard. If we as Christians fail to live by biblical rules, people don't see Jesus in us. Think about it for a minute. Why do you think the lost think of Christians as hypocrites? If we live as the world, why would the world want what we have? Aaron could have stopped this altogether if he just would have stood up and said, "No. Moses is with God. God's protecting him. He'll return when God wants him to." He could have stopped it right then and there with a few sentences. But he chose a different path. He succumbed to the wants of the many. There's several in the Bible that's done the same thing. Think about Abraham and Sarah. They tried to do things their way, didn't have patience. Abraham didn't have the leadership in his family to say, "No, we're going to wait and do things the way God wants us to." Wars are still being fought because of their decisions. When I think about the golden calf itself, one of the things that struck me was that it was made out of the people's earrings. So in essence, instead of worshiping an actual statue, they were worshiping their possessions. They had taken what God had blessed them with and turned it into an idol. Kind of like we do today. We may not go and melt our possessions down and try to change its image, but anytime we take what's in our lives and we elevate it to a higher status than God, we've created that golden calf in our own life. And think about it. One thing that also strikes me here is that it was their jewelry that they melted down. Now, all women that I've ever met love their jewelry. So they were taking something of theirs and melting it down to make it great. Aaron also told them to take it from their sons and their daughters. But now, as we as men generally don't wear earrings today, We could exchange that and say, what if it would have said turning your cell phones, turning your TVs, turning your power tools? We're going to melt them down and make them into something, some giant thing that we can worship. Would have been the same thing. Think about it. Are we as guilty as the Israelites were? Have we allowed anything in the top spot in our lives where God should be? Do we spend more time reading Facebook than we do reading the Bible? Do we talk to God more than we talk on the phone? There's a lot of things in our lives that we allow to clutter our lives that sneak up on that priority list and rob us from time that we should spend with God. You think, oh, it's no big deal. It's just a little something. Well, that golden calf started out as little earrings, and look what it turned into. You think God doesn't hate idols? Let's reread verse 9 and 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them. God was ready to do away with his people. Think about it. That's how much God hates idols. Anything that we allow to be in our lives where he should be. He was ready just to get rid of the whole crowd. Wipe them off the face of the earth. That's how much God hates idols. You might say, well, how can I avoid idols in my own life? A couple of points. The first one is focus on Jesus. The Israelites didn't have Jesus to focus on. They were focusing on Moses instead of being focused on God. Man can disappear. Man can disappoint us. But Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. Who or what are we focusing on? Ask yourselves these questions. Where do you spend your money? Do you tithe? Where does your extra money go after you get through paying all the bills, the mortgage, the car payment, eating, paying the power bill? That extra money that you have every month, where does it go? Does it go to seeing that God's will is being carried out? Or is it frivolously being spent somewhere that doesn't matter? Where do we spend our time? Do we spend it on the computer, on Facebook, watching TV? Neither of those is bad in itself. But when we allow them to become a higher priority than God, they become an idol in our lives. What do we know more about? If we know more about what happens on our favorite soap opera, who got nominated for a Grammy, then we know about what happens in the Bible, we're not focusing on Jesus. If you know more statistics on your favorite ball team than you know about your favorite Bible character, you're not focusing on Jesus. Three simple questions to ask ourselves to determine if we have idols in our own lives. If you find that you do have idols in your life, you might say, well, how do I get rid of them? The first step is repentance. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins. After all, if we can't admit that we have a sin, that we have an idol in our life, we can't begin the process to remove it. The second step is to spend time in God's Word. If we spend time reading God's Word every day, we will put God back in the number one spot. The Bible never changes. It was the same the day I was born as it is today, as it'll be 20 years from today. Anything else that we allow to occupy our precious time does change. Think about it. How much time do we spend on watching our favorite ball team, our favorite actor, keeping up with them, memorizing all those statistics, keeping up with who got nominated for this, who got cheated out of what? And that all changes. We may memorize it today, but tomorrow it'll all change. The Bible, God's Word, never changes. We are all given the same amount of time, 24 hours a day. How we choose to spend the day is completely up to us. Yeah, we must work. We must sleep. We must eat. But the rest of the day is up to us. We make choices every day on whether we put God first or we let an idol creep in. So when we start to slip and spend that less time reading and studying on meditation of God's Word, that those idols start to slip in. It can be something as simple as waking up late and having to make that choice between eating breakfast or reading God's Word that morning. Or spending too much time on lower priority projects, so at the end of the day, we're too exhausted to focus on what we're reading. You know, just going through the motions, staring at words on the page, but not really gaining anything from it. Our third step to getting rid of the idols is to talk with Jesus. Ask for His help. There's nothing that we can do with our own power. We need His strength. Start and end your day with prayer, talking with Jesus. He's the one that can change us. He's the one that can help us focus ourselves and get rid of those idols. Because after all, if we're speaking with Him at the beginning and end of our day, we're probably going to be thinking about Him the rest of the day. And if we're thinking about Jesus throughout the day, do we have a problem with idols? No. Just some simple steps to help us remove or put Jesus back in the top spot where He should have been in the first place. I know that when we think about the golden calf, we think, no, I would never do that. I would never worship a statue. I'd never bow down to some metal object or golden object. But yet, we've allowed the devil to slip in these little things in our lives that we never focus on because they're small, they're little, and then they grow in our everyday lives. They kind of just have the domino effect. What starts out as small takes up more and more and more of our time till we kind of just start pushing God to the side so we can focus on whatever it is that started out innocently and small. So ask yourself, what is your golden calf? Have you allowed anything to occupy the space in your life where Jesus should be?